Hello and welcome to Let's Hear It on WMUK, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Laurence. Pianist Ahmed Ansaldua is an artist who joined the Western Michigan University community a few years ago as a master's student in piano. He's now studying for his master's in conducting. Today I'm speaking with Ahmed Ansaldua about his newly released recording of the music of a Mexican composer who deserves much more recognition.
This composer is Miguel Bernal Jimenez. He's one of my favorite composers. I think he's one of the best Mexican composers, very underrated, like Revueltas, for example. But the thing about him is that he's not so widely known outside of Mexico. And the music he's known for is very big and bombastic, these big symphonic poems and operas. But throughout his life, he wrote all these beautiful, little charming piano pieces for himself and for his students. So I've been playing these all my life since I started playing piano. I remember one of the first juries I did as an undergrad, I just picked one of these because it looked easy. And then I kept playing them. Last year, I had the opportunity to go down to Mexico to a festival and symposium dedicated to his music. And I played a recital there where I played all of this music, and two of his suites have not even been published. So a friend, a musicologist there, had helped me look them up and research them, and he made an edition of them, and I played them. And when I got back here to Kalamazoo, there was a very generous donor who gave the School of Music a piano. And there was an event for that where I played some music. And after that, I played some of this music there. And after that, we talked with Brad Wong, director of the School of Music, and Dan Guyette, the dean of the College of Arts. And I mentioned just offhand that one of my projects for the future was recording this music someday. And right on the spot, they said, you know what, we'll produce it. We'll get it done now at Western Sound Studios. So I went into the studio December and then February and just recorded it. And maybe a week later, I get a call from a label in Mexico who'd heard my recital, and they said, we want you to come down and record this music for us because it's not been recorded. And I told them, well, I already have a recording, which we just made here. And we agreed to use that recording and have them distribute it and release it. So we've been working on that since then.
You said Jimenez was very significant to Mexican music, Mexican people. I'd like to hear a little more about that significance.
Absolutely. Well, the thing about Jimenez is that he was a little bit of an outsider. There was a very established nationalist school in Mexico City. So you had Carlos Chavez and Manolo Ponce and the school of composers that were kind of more in the official system. And then you had Bernal Jimenez, who was a church organist in Morelia, not even in the capital. And he went to Rome and he studied Gregorian chant and organ and came back and started teaching at the conservatory in Morelia, which is where I did my undergrad. And so a lot of his music, while the nationalist composers were very drawn to serialism and to music that was very academic in some ways and trying to imitate what was going on in the rest of the world, Jimenez was writing all of this really beautiful tonal music, music that was based on Gregorian chant, music that was very similar to very inspired by Debussy and Stravinsky. He got better known as he grew older because he started writing very big, spectacular works. And finally, he moved to the U.S. He lived in Louisiana for a while, but he died quite young. He died in his 40s.
And what is the time period
so
we're
he was
talking
born
about?
In, he was born in 1910, and he died in 1956, I believe. So, yeah, 45, 46. Oh, my math.
He went to Europe to be trained, you
yes.
said, and seemed to have felt a strong patriotic or a, you know, he wanted to improve music or provide great works for Mexico.
In part, yeah. And, well, he was also a spectacular organist and quite a good pianist. So he has three sets of piano pieces that are the ones on the recording. He has one called Ocho autógrafos para piano, which mean four little autographs for piano. And those he wrote when he was quite young as teaching pieces. And these weren't known at all. That's the suite that we kind of discovered. And then he wrote one called Antigua Valladolid later in his life, towards his mid-life. And that one was based on Baroque, classical, and romantic music, but always using little elements of Mexican folk tunes and dances. And then towards the end of his life, he wrote a suite for piano called Carteles, which is the title of the CD, and it had never been recorded, and I consider it one of the masterpieces of Latin American classical music for piano. And there are eight small little pieces, and each one is based on a little image. A cartel is like a poster. Hmm. So it's not like a cartel. It's a cartel means a pastel drawing or a little poster of something. And in front of the conservatory where he taught, there's a little garden, a park, where artists every Sunday set up a lot of paintings and they sell them. And he would be inspired by these little drawings to create these small piano pieces. And then he would write them for his students. And eventually the eight that make up this cycle were put together and published after his death. He never saw them published.
So Carteles is the piece that you really wanted to put on record.
Absolutely. And it had never been recorded. Only one movement had been recorded before. And I might add, I wasn't too happy with it. So I thought, oh, we could do so much better than this. And I remember picking one of the movements of this suite for a jury, as I said, when I was an undergrad in school, because it looked quite easy. And it was. I mean, I played through it. And then I took this music with me when I studied in Spain. And so I kept playing it because it really did remind me of home. And then I came back to Mexico and kept working on it. And then I came to the United States and then brought them with me. So I've been playing it for quite a while. And they're very underrated. And the more you play it, the more little things you start finding, little connections to a particular place or a particular time or a particular food or a particular thing in Mexico that kind of really just sparks imagination and reminds you of that.
It sounds like you were the perfect person at the perfect time to put these to record. And listeners like you, I'll be hearing this for the very first time. It's a broadcast debut here on WMUK of music by Miguel Bernal Jimenez from his suite Carteles. And we'll start with a few of the pieces from this suite.
Yeah, so we could listen to the first four pieces. And the first one is called Volantín, which is a little carousel that turns around. So towards the middle, you'll suddenly hear that the melody sounds like it's in a different time signature, which it is. Suddenly it shifts by an eighth note and it doesn't match the accompaniment anymore. And then the second piece is a very small set of variations on a Mayan dance. It's called Mayan Dance. And the third piece, it's called Night. It's a very impressionist piece that tells a little story about dawn in Morelia. So it starts at night, you gradually see the sun coming up, and you hear a rooster in the background as the sun comes up. And the fourth piece is called Huarache, which is this very noisy, out-of-tune folk dance.
Thank you.
We're exploring a new recording with the pianist Ahmed Ansaldúa, who has put the music of Miguel Bernal Jimenez to record for the first time, some of this music, including this suite.
That's right, Carteles.
Carteles is the name of the suite. And we just heard the first four pieces, which are his little snapshots, basically, or postcards of scenes, or inspired by little postcards scenes.
That's right. And what's kind of attractive about them is just how contrasting they are with the music of Bernal Jimenez that's better known. He's known for ballets and operas that go on for 2 or 3 hours, these just huge productions. So seeing these little minute-long or two-minute-long pieces that are really quite charming and have some very, very special moments in them.
We certainly heard a great set of contrasts in the last two pieces we listened to. The last one very dance-like and filled with sort of it's a dissonance, but it's a really palatable dissonance of folk-seeming tunes.
Yeah, it actually uses a folk tune. It's called La Víbora de la Mar, which is kind of like a maypole dance where people... You play it in the schoolyard, so you'll sing the song and then you would grab someone else and then those two people would run around and try to grab someone else until you have this big snake, and you sing that song. And he took that theme and snuck it into that part. But it's completely, everything's played very dissonantly, so it's meant to sound like an out-of-tune band where you have a tuba constantly playing boom, boom on the bottom, and then you have these trombones and clarinets on top that are just constantly out of tune and clashing with each other.
That's exactly what it sounded like. But I have a soft spot for the piece we heard just before it. It has a sort of holy quality to my ear. Very nice for Christmas or solstice or Advent or something like that.
It's the idea of night. The piece is called Night, Noche. And it starts with it's all built around the same chord. It's all an E chord, but it starts with with an E minor chord. And then he gradually starts adding all these little dissonances to it until it emerges as a major E chord with all these beautiful harmonics on top. And at the same time, he's telling a little story where it's night and the sun is gradually coming up. And, you know, it's day at the end.
So the album is available right now by looking on iTunes or Amazon. But you are also, you know, living here in Kalamazoo and willing to chat with people, especially if they contact you on Facebook.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Yeah, the label is, it's Festival Internacional de Morelia. It's a festival in Morelia. It's probably one of the most important music festivals in the Latin American world. And they have their own label, and every year they put out a few recordings of the artists that come to their festival.
So you're keeping strong connections to the musical life in Mexico while you make your home here in Kalamazoo.
That's probably the strongest one. Generally, well, I can't do as much as I'd like because I am getting a degree in conducting, and right now that's my main focus. Mm-hmm. But whenever I have a chance, I do go down maybe twice a year to play a concerto or recital or teach a class or something like that.
Why don't we recap how this happened again? This was almost a series of amazing coincidences last year when you suddenly walked into an opportunity to record and had this idea all ready to go.
Yeah, pretty much. I got invited to play at a symposium dedicated to this composer's music. I have a friend in Mexico, his name's Edgar Calderon, and he has done some editions of this music, and he invited me to play this composer's piano music at the festival. We've known each other since we were together. We're colleagues at a conservatory in Mexico where I taught for a few years. And right after that, when I got back, I had this music ready to go, and I was asked to play a recital, so I thought, well, I'll play this. It's really attractive music, so I just play that, and things just happened from there. It was great.
Anything else you can tell me about Jimenez's life? Was he on a faculty somewhere, or did he have a lot of kids to support? Or
well, his family, they still, that festival I was talking about, it's organized by his family.
Oh,
right.
Wonderful.
Now it's his granddaughter who heads the festival. He's very loved in Morelia. Morelia has the Conservatorio Las Rosas, which is the oldest music school in America, South America, North America. It was founded in the early 1500s. It used to be a convent where the Sisters of St. Rose, Rosa, would teach music. They would teach voice and chant and all these instruments. And Bernal Jimenez, when he came back from Rome, he founded the current conservatory there at the convent. So he turned it into a music school that awarded degrees and had an orchestra and a very famous choir in Mexico, a children's choir that has become quite well known in Latin America. So he is known in the city of Morelia as just kind of like the everyone's musical father. Everyone either studied with him or with one of his students or with one of his of the colleagues that he brought into Morelia. He was the organist for the Morelia Cathedral for a very long time. He founded all these choirs. He founded the orchestra. He was just an amazing pedagogue and man.
Just dedicated his whole life to
music. Yes, absolutely. And he was a family man. And most of his music has all these connections to Gregorian chant, especially. As I said, he studied in Rome, Gregorian chant and composition and organ. And so his music kind of follows the pandiatonism, you would say it, this kind of a type of musical writing that came after the Vatican Council, the first one, not the second one. So a return to Gregorian chant, lots of modal melodies. I like to think of Bernal Jimenez almost as a Mexican Briton of some sort, because a lot of the music is based on modes in the same way. He worked extensively with children's choirs and with organ. A lot of his music has this kind of character. He did not go with the flow of writing increasingly alienating music, serialism. His music was always accessible, even though it was quite sophisticated. And as we listen to Carteles, he wrote these over a long period of time. He didn't write them all in one go. And he later selected the ones he preferred. So the last four pieces of the suite are actually quite a bit more sophisticated than the first four. You can hear a big change in how expressive they are and the kind of musical material that's used. One of the things that I've loved about working on this CD is that There are 20 tracks in the CD. There are basically 8 movements in the two of the suites and 4 movements in the other one. And they all come from different periods in his life. So as you know it, you can see how he was learning, how he was self-taught. And then he went to Rome and learned all this great stuff. And then he came back to Mexico and he was writing music in that style. And then you can see that point where he started taking note of folk melodies and Mexican music styles and putting it into his music. And towards the end of his life, which was unfortunately quite short, you can hear how his music suddenly becomes very, very unique. But it all comes as a result of that.
We should head back into the music and follow up with that with a little more on how the recording was produced here at Western Michigan University. Again, you said the second half, which we'll listen to now, features a little more sophistication, maturity in his
absolutely.
Writing.
Yeah, the next pieces are Sandunga. That one is based on a folk genre. And there are two types of sandungas. One of them is accompanied with guitar, and it tends to be really sad. They're all sad songs. And then there's another kind of sandunga that's played on marimbas, and it's actually quite happy. So Bernal Jimenez has a piece that's kind of in ternary form, where the two parts of the piece that are on the outsides are quite sad and sound like a guitar, and the middle part sounds like marimbas. It's quite happy, and you can hear where he writes marimbas making mistakes. So he'll on purpose add little notes that sound like mistakes. So that's not me making mistakes. And then right after it, he writes what's my favorite part of the work, the one of the most profound pieces, I think, that he wrote. It's called Pordioseros, which would mean someone that begs, someone that asks for money, I would say. And this was written in the aftermath of the Mexican Revolution, so there was a lot of poverty in Mexico. And he, in this piece, you can, you there's a lot of space and dissonance, but you can almost hear the words that you would say in Spanish, una limosna, in the rhythms of the piece. And the last one, called Parangara Cutirimícuaro, which is this, it's a tongue twister in Spanish that also makes reference to a small town in Michoacán, that's where he's from, where they have these music festivals and folk bands. So it's incredibly convoluted. It's very hard to play. And and it sounds like a band that's just completely out of tune. It almost sounds like Charles Ives, because you, at some point you have two or three melodies in completely different keys and even time signatures going at once. But it's a very exciting piece.
The pianist is Ahmed Ansaldúa in music of Miguel Bernal Jiménez, and this music has never been heard before on WMUK. This is the broadcast debut of this new CD, and it's really rather new to the world. Available on Amazon and iTunes. Ahmed, you can also talk to people through Facebook. I should say the spelling of your last name is Anzaldúa, Ansaldúa, and Ahmed, Ahmed. So folks on Facebook and...
I have all the usual online things. I have my Twitter and my website and my Facebook and all that. And people are welcome to talk and discuss. That's, I love that.
These pieces are some of the neglected pieces in Jiménez's repertoire. People pay more attention to the big orchestral fantasies that
he wrote basically three things that became famous, I would say, outside of Mexico. He wrote an organ concerto, a quartet, Cuarteto Virreinal, which has been heard a few times in Kalamazoo because we've had some Mexican quartets come here. And then he has, well, this huge cantata about the colonization of Mexico by the Spaniards, which gets played a lot in Mexico.
But these pieces contain his vision, his genius for both mysterious and beautiful slow music, as well as festive and fun dance pieces.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I always admired about Jiménez, especially talking with his family and with his friends that knew him, it was just how much he did. This person just... all day, every day, he would play, he would teach, he would compose nonstop. I have no idea when he had the time to do everything he did. So these pieces represent that side of him. He would go to the artist's garden, see a painting he liked, and then go somewhere and write this beautiful, perfectly crafted piano piece that day, and then give it to a student and teach it. And he just kept doing this. He probably wrote hundreds of these, but then he just compiled the ones he liked best for these suites.
You recorded these at Western Sound Studios, which is just a couple buildings away from where we're at here at WMUK. The studios recently got an upgrade?
I did, yes.
And you were able to perform. Was this in the Dalton Center Recital Hall?
It was. This was actually shortly after the upgrade for the studios was completed. And we wanted to record it in the studio, but the Gilmore Festival had just happened. And the piano was in such good shape because they did so much work on it so that it would be up to their standards that we just had to take advantage of that. So we recorded in the recital hall at Dalton Center, and the engineer was Brian Heaney, and he's just a fantastic engineer and musician. He has such a great ear. And I've worked with him a few times recording other people's projects where I'll just play piano or accompany, and he had just such an attention for detail and I think a better ear than I do for things that weren't right or noise or things that I just wasn't able to hear until he pointed them out. So finally, Brian did the editing, and then I asked him to do the mastering, even though he was kind of reluctant because he's very good at what he does.
And he's quite busy.
Yes.
Yeah. Like we know here at WMUK with Martin Clem, a good engineer is worth his weight in gold. And so I'm glad you had that kind of collaborator, because it's very tiring to perform in a studio without the gratification of an audience, with only your own self as critic. It would be pretty tough.
Yeah, I won't disagree with that. Yes, it's one of my least favorite experiences to play and then hear yourself play. And I thought I knew these pieces until I recorded them. And then during those sessions, I kept finding these things that I was doing that I didn't realize. So I think that just the process of recording them took them to a whole other level.
We could go into another hour of discussion on our own perceptions of, are we actually hearing what we're hearing? Or are we processing it in our mind in a special way so that we fill in gaps, or we don't really know what's actually going on around us? I find that kind of fascinating as my eyes fail and my ears fail with age.
I was actually talking about that. The David Cadoc, French pianist, was here a couple of weeks ago, and we're close friends from back in school, and we're talking about that. He said that after he started playing concerts everywhere, about 2 or 3 years ago, he started just recording every single thing he played, just sneak an iPhone into his pocket or something. Because you don't hear what you're doing when you're playing. And after playing, you suddenly start hearing like, oh, I did that. Why did I do that? Where did that come from? So it's important. It's important to listen to yourself.
Even though sometimes the mirror will show things you really didn't show you with your fly undone and darn it. But that's a bad image to leave us on. So let's think of the fact that this recording is a great achievement and a celebration of a composer who needs more exposure beyond Mexico. And we're really happy to give it to you here at WMUK. Well, I'm going to play us out here with something from the beginning of the record.
Right. So the first suite on the record is called Antigua Valladolid, or Ancient Valladolid. And that's the name that the city of Morelia had before it became Morelia. So all the pieces on this suite are inspired by composers that Miguel Bernal Jimenez loved from before. So the first piece is inspired by a Baroque organ toccata, and it's played with one hand only. And then the second one is inspired by classical minuets, and it's called The Chained Minuets, followed by a little romantic piece inspired by Brahms, and then a really fast-paced little piece inspired by Schumann.
Ahmed, thank you very much.
Thank you.